The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What will you give me if I betray him to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus.
"Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another,
"Surely not I, Lord.
The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.'"
Peter said to him,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
"Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter,
"So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you might not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign.
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him!"
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi,"
and kissed him.
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Then he came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
"Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this time has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward.
This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.
The high priest stood up and said,
Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?
But Jesus was silent.
I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.
You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
He is blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?
He deserves death.
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of... Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him.
Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
You also were with Jesus the Galilean.
But he denied it before all of them.
I do not know what you are talking about.
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and he said to the bystanders,
This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.
Again, he denied it with an oath.
I do not know the man.
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
Certainly you are also, one of them,
for your accent betrays you.
Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath.
I do not know the man.
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders.
I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
What is that to us?
See to it yourself.
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
It is not lawful to put them into treasury, since they are blood money.
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to buy foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord condemned me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
Are you the king of Jews?
You say so.
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?
But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over while he was sitting on the judgment seat. His wife sent word to him,
Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him.
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
Which of the two do you want me to release for you?
Barabbas.
Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
Let him be crucified.
Why? What evil has he done?
Let him be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd.
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
His blood be on us and on our children.
So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the crowd took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him.
Hail, King of the Jews!
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went on, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And then when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads.
You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him.
He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. If he wants to, for he said, "I am God's Son."
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?"
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"This man is calling for Elijah."
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,
Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn into the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after this day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that the impostor said that while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may go and steal away and tell the people, 'He has been raised from the dead,' and the last deception would be worse than the first.
You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can."
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. This is the Passion of the Lord.
Just thanks again for that. That was wonderful. Really long reading and quite hard to kind of do, but you did really well, and thank you so much. Just as we were reading it, I was thinking, I should say, by the way, although Annabelle was Jesus, that was nothing to do with me. That was a youth group decision, and I had no part in it. But anyway, well done. We read a lot. We heard a lot. And then we also, in responding, you know, we had to say various things. And some of those things are quite uncomfortable, aren't they? I just wonder what, in all of that reading, what struck you? Was there anything in particular that just sort of kind of got you, as it were, or impressed itself on you in some way? Maybe just for a moment, turn to the person next to you and, you know, just say if there's anything in particular that struck you from that reading as we heard it or as we were involved with it and read bits ourselves. So just one or two thoughts, maybe, if you feel like sharing something, that what struck you?
Let him be crucified.
What was it about that that really...
I didn't enjoy shouting that because I don't want him to be crucified.
Yeah, that's right. Does anyone else find that uncomfortable? So, just saying those words is quite hard, isn't it? Other thoughts? Anyone else?
I have one. Pilate's moral confliction when it comes to whether or not to crucify Jesus or Jesus the Barabbas. And that one line, I am innocent of this man's blood, see it to yourselves.
He's torn, isn't he? Yeah, between doing what he thinks is the right thing and then what he thinks is going to please people. Anyone else? Yeah.
It was when they called for the blood to be on themselves and their children.
I found that one really hard. Anyone else? You know, when we had to say his blood be on ourselves and on our children, you kind of feel like, oh my gosh, that's such a serious thing to say, isn't it? So it's wonderful hearing these words, but very challenging in there as well. That his blood be on ourselves and on our children. Very hard to say that. Very hard to say, let him be crucified as well. I wonder what we would have done if we were there in those days. Would we have got swept up with the crowds and the kind of all the everything being whipped up and all the emotion, you know, like being at some march or rally or a concert or something where you're just all like whoosh, caught up in the same thing? Would we have been caught up in it too? Were there people that were saying, actually, I don't want to say that? Were there some people just saying, no, I don't want him to be crucified? His blood be on us and on our children. The thing that strikes me about that is what's meant for evil in some ways, God once again completely turns around. You know, these people are going, just let him die. His blood be on us and on our children. We don't care, is what they're saying. You know, we'll take the blame. And our children. I mean, what kind of statement is that? You know, I'm so full of myself that not only will I take it on, I reckon I'm right, I'm going to drop my children in it as well. You know, innocent that people that, you know, have no choice in this, I'm taking a choice for them. His blood be on us and on our children. That's quite a strong thing to say. But then God, wonderfully, what does he do? Again and again, doesn't he? He just takes what we mean for evil and he turns it around. He's deeper. And he says, you might think those words sound like you're saying this, but I'm going to say those words are saying that actually Jesus' blood, my son's blood, will be on you and on your children, but for forgiveness, for grace, for healing, for those who would accept it, for life. And it is only by his blood, by his wounds, that we are healed. Isn't it incredible? So God takes words which are meant for evil and says, actually, I can bring good out of even that. You know, and where we turn to him, his blood is actually good for us. Yeah. I think the thing that really struck me in particular, maybe this says something about where I'm just... at in the Lenten journey, but as we work hard and as we exhaust ourselves, and we do, don't we? We just think, yeah, let's do this thing. We take on more and more sometimes, and we do more and more, and we've got things that we have to do and then things that we decide we want to do. And we can be doing, doing, doing. And there's something about this, the fact of Jesus' crucifixion and of his death for us, that suddenly confronts me and makes me realize I can do nothing. None of these efforts are going to get me anywhere in terms of what Jesus did for me. They're not going to buy me life. In fact, kind of almost the opposite. But what Jesus has done for me on the cross and for us is something that I can't do for myself, that we can't do for ourselves. And there's no effort that we can make that is going to kind of help pay a bit of that price. You know, like, oh, perhaps if I do a little bit, you know, then somehow I'll become worthy of what he's done for me. No, nothing's going to make me worthy of that. He's saying, I'm doing this for you. Whether or not you said, crucify him, whether or not you said, his blood be on us and on our children, wherever you stand in the story, I'm doing this for you, and it's my free choice. It's not a thing that was done to, I mean, it is a thing that was done to him. But he took a decision, not my will, but your will be done. He decided to do that. And in John's gospel, he says, the Father has given me authority to lay down my life and to take it up again. This is given to me by my Father. So freely Jesus chooses, I'm laying down my life. I'm going to let them do the worst they can to me. I'm going to suffer at their hands. I'm doing this for you, out of my choice. It wasn't against his will. He wasn't like hunted down and then, you know. He knew what he was doing. He laid down his life. He let them do their worst to him. I wouldn't come back from that. But he did. My Father gave me authority to take my life up again, so that we can know him and we can be with him. We can have that life. We can share that life with him. It's not, I can't do anything to buy my way into any of that. And I can't do any effort to kind of make myself deserve any of it. It's freely given by Jesus, what he's done for me and you. Can't earn it. How many of us try to earn it? I don't know. I just catch myself again and again trying to earn what Jesus has done for me. It's not that we don't have to do anything. He calls us to follow him. He calls us to effort. He calls us to sacrifice. He calls us to lay down our lives too. But it's not in order to get anything out of him or deserve anything. Really, the best way is because it's love. It's his way of love. And he's done it all for us. We don't have to earn it. It's done. It's complete. It is all finished, as Jesus said. It is finished. I've done it all for you. Now, take up your cross and follow me. You know, do some loving like I love. Join in with my love. Don't try and do it on your own. Don't try and do it by yourself. Join in with what I've done. Be part of my self-giving, self-sacrificial love. That love that heals the universe. Right, well, I've said enough. Let's pray, shall we, for a moment. And I've got some prayers here, which are prayers that focus on some of the people that were on that journey that Jesus took to the cross. And I'll leave a little bit of silence for us to just hold people and places and situations before the Lord that are on our hearts. But we'll go through a few of the characters that we met on the journey, that Jesus met on the journey. And when I say, Lord, hear us, if we all say, Lord, graciously hear us, okay? So, Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. So let us pray. Etphano at Kariti. Let us pray to the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to give us life. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Simon from Cyrene was made to carry the cross for your Son. Give us grace to lift heavy loads from those we meet and to stand with those condemned to die. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Your son watched the soldiers gamble to share his clothes. Transform the hearts of those who make a profit from their victims and those whose hearts are hardened by their work. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. The thief who was crucified with Jesus was promised a place in your kingdom. Give pardon and hope, healing and peace to all who look death in the face. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. From the cross, Jesus entrusted Mary, his mother, and John, his disciple, to each other's care. Help us also to care for one another and fill our homes with the spirit of your love. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. In Mary and John, your son created a new family at the cross. Fill our relationships and those of new families today with mutual care and responsibility, and give us a secure hope for the future. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. The centurion was astonished to see your glory in the crucified Messiah. Open the eyes of those who do not yet know you to see in your Son the meaning of life and truth. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Joseph of Arimathea came to take your son's body away. Give hope and faith to the dying and the bereaved, and gentleness to those who minister to them. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Simon and Joseph, Mary and John became part of your church in Jerusalem. Bring into your church, your family today, a diverse company of people to walk with Christ in the way of his passion and to find their salvation in the victory of his cross. We ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you, brothers and sisters. We're going to stand now to sing How Great Thou Art. So Wes is making his way through.